Good afternoon. This is Rob. Who's on, please?
Hey, Rob. It's Sam.
It's Patty.
It's Bob McCabe.
Kelly's joining us in a minute.
And so is Hillary Mercer. She's coming in here in a minute.
Oh, terrific. Terrific.
How are you, sir?
I'm well, thank you. I'm busy. I've had a busy morning. I tend to put my calls, you know, on certain days, and then they kind of go back to back to back to back. So it's challenging.
But so is there every Wednesday then before we talk with you can be kind of you become coming from other calls, right?
Yeah, that's what I do. Yeah, I pack them in. So I have like 6 calls today. And then, you know, it balances my life out then. I can spend other days doing other things. So that's one of the things that you guys might want to think about now is how, you know, we want to identify today and as we go, our ideal client, who it is that we want, but we also want to identify our ideal day. And how do you want your day, you know, if you could create your ideal day, what would it be? And think of it in terms of productivity also. I mean, when are you the most productive? When is the time to do your prospecting? When is the time for you to work out? When is the time to have balance in your life with your family? What is the time to call your clients? And you may be different. And when you have a team, you also want to think about when do you want to have your team meetings? When do you want to take your vacations? Now, you've been a team for a while, so you get it, and you probably have these things built in. But now is the time to take a fresh look at that and to take a fresh look at, you know, as we're taking a fresh look at our client base, take a fresh look at your organization and structure and all that. And we'll talk about organization and structure here a little bit. So what are your thoughts? You watch the videos. You know, I always like to ask what's on your mind before we get started.
Yeah, I think
I don't know there's too much more than just getting our arms around how to have these conversations, and some of our clients are kind of make sense for us to get rid of them. Those are the easy ones to start with, but preparing to have that conversation with the difficult relationship that we're going to undo.
Yep. Now, what define difficult for me?
Maybe a relationship that we have the assets, or an older person, we've known them for years, but they just don't generate any income for us.
Yeah. Okay.
This one.
The no income thing is kind of easy because, you know, unless you want to come in on Saturdays or at night, those, you know, that doesn't generate any business, so it doesn't make any sense. Unless you want to give, you know, free time charity work. I always tell people that. Do your charity work on Saturday mornings and in the evenings. And people are like, well, I don't want to come in then. I say, well, then probably that's not a good idea then to do that. Well, let's say it's the person that gives you some business, but doesn't meet your minimum, or it doesn't even come close. It doesn't make any sense. But they were there when you got started, and they're old, and they need somebody. What we do is we call it two different things to think about. Is it we try and take care of them? We try and find them a home, and you can do that by handing them to somebody that's conscientious but not ambitious. So they're a good person, they'll do a good job for people, but they're not ambitious, meaning they don't particularly care to grow, or they're very senior, or, you know, but they wouldn't mind taking care of a new client. That usually has to generate some business to do that. For the people that don't generate any business, there really isn't anything you can do. Is it they don't generate any business because they don't want to or because they have no money?
A lot of times it's the same. It can be a yes to both those questions depending on the relationship. They don't have any more money. They're older. And we're looking for the next generation to be that hopeful, possible new impetus of business.
Well, that's a different question. When do we decide that a senior person has value in terms of, do we prospect the next generation? Well, we're not believers in the lottery, okay? So let's kind of put that, someday this guy might catch the lottery. That's not good business thinking. So, but let's say that the person has $5 million and they've got 2 children. Well, clearly they would meet our minimum if the estate was divided by 2. But let's say that they had 2 million, but they had 20 children. Okay? That would not probably meet our minimum. So we would not then take on those children. If it's a very big client, you always want to take care of their children because it makes financial sense, but it's also next to their, their children are the most important thing in their life, their grandchildren and their business. They love those things. And so you want to take good care of them. A person that has no money, gives you no money, and if they don't have any money, the children can't inherit any money. So that doesn't make any sense. So it's kind of like, I think I mentioned this the last time, look at the business as if you just bought the business. And which clients would you keep and which ones would you reassign? You don't. Taking your personal emotions out of it. The other thing to do is you guys work together, but maybe you have your own clients. Have the other person look at your practice and question why that person would make sense to stay. Okay? That it's always hard to justify it to one of your partners. It's much easier to justify it to yourself.
Yep.
So, most of the time, we have the mentality, as we become successful, we tend to still have the mentality that we had when we started. And part of what I hope to help you do is to change that image of yourself as being a person that is blessed to take anybody, in which in the beginning you were. I mean, it was the fact that people would do business with you was very flattering and gave you great confidence and made you successful. But at this point, you're a senior partner in an industry where there's, frankly, more supply than demand. You must treat it that way, where you, unfortunately, can't serve everybody. Not in the way that we want to serve them. I mean, one of the questions that I want to ask you all is to think about this. What are the 10 things that differentiate your company from every other one? Why aren't you a commodity? Why wouldn't somebody do business with Vanguard versus you? Or why would they do business with you versus the guys, in the other corner of your office? And that's what we work on with Supernova, is helping you to differentiate yourselves and make you unique and make you valuable. And therefore we have, you are paid like a lawyer, $300, $400, $500, $600 an hour for your time, you cannot give it away. I mean, lawyers don't give it away, CPAs don't give it away, doctors don't give it away. So why would we give it away? I mean, it just doesn't make any economic sense, especially if you're a partnership. How can you be giving it away while your partners are working to produce revenues? And like I said, if you want to come in on nights and weekends, great. Do that philanthropic work for those people that aren't paying you then, but they don't count as part of your 70 clients or 80 clients. Does that help?
Yeah.
You kind of, you got to kind of have the words and the mental state in order to frame this thing properly. Now, when talking to them, you always want to talk not about you, but about them. That this, you know, at this stage, this is the best, this is going to be the best situation for you. It's going to be much more suitable. At this stage, our fees, we're going to be raising our fees in order to pay for this level of service that we're delivering, and we don't think it makes sense for you to pay $5,000 a year for our services. Okay? And so forth. And they'll agree, especially if they're paying nothing.
Another way to frame it is,
you know, people have heard about concierge physicians, where they go into business in order to bring some balance to their lives. Instead of, and it's very similar analogy, by the way, where we had 650 clients per FA years ago. Now the industry is down to maybe 200 clients per FA. And you all are going to be going down to, you know, maybe 70 or 80 clients per FA. Well, that's a concierge practice, right? And in order to be in a concierge practice, each individual that each patient agrees to pay a fee. And the fee is uniform. I mean, they pay a minimum fee of $5,000. And they have 100 clients or 200 clients, 200 patients, and that's their minimum fee. So if you come in with $4,000, what are they going to say to you?
Where's the other thousand?
Right. It's 5,000. That's it. No argument, no conversation, no, well, you know, we'll give you a discount or, no, it's 5,000. That's all. And that's the way I want you all to think, that you're going to deliver an incredible level of service, but your minimum fee is blank. Okay? So, let's get to that and see if you've revisited that. As I recall, we had set up any change in, I think we made it $1 million and $2 million, $10,000 and $20,000. Is that still a comfortable number for you?
Well, not 100%, because what I've noticed is that we do have quite a few accounts between $500,000 and $1 million.
Yep.
Where paying, you know, $6,000 to close to $10,000 a year. So, you know, I still think that that's a piece of our business until we, you know, get this unraveled. But, you know, the work we've done so far, you know, because obviously there's a whole bunch of stuff that we have that people don't even, stuff that we've inherited and all. I mean, so we just naturally get down to 228 in households. And I can see it pretty easily getting down to 175 and then probably be a bit of a struggle in the week after to get to 150, but I think we can get there. So, you know, there may be a few of those that
that have to get bounced. But other than that, I think we're pretty close on that.
Yeah, and
I would say like that target among, revenue wise would have to be 5,000 right now.
Well, I wouldn't do that. That's what you, this is new business now, okay?
Okay.
It's not existing business. You can keep the, what you're trying to do is get your number down to a manageable size, number of clients. I'm not asking you to, fire accounts at this point that are giving you $5,000. That's fine to keep them as long as they don't exceed the number of clients that you can comfortably manage.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Okay, because that wouldn't make any economic sense to do that and just get down to an artificial number that just to get it down to that number.
Okay.
Those clients maybe will grow or maybe they'll bring in more money or whatever. So gradually, but at some point, when you raise your minimums and you'll never increase the number of clients, hopefully ever, but you'll increase your minimums. And so those clients, if they are rollovers or something, they may end up being reassigned to somebody else. And that's fine.
Yeah.
Because what did that mean? It meant that you brought in a new $20 million client to replace the $500,000 client or the,
Yep, I get it.
Okay. And the whole game is time. The name of the game is leverage and time. All right? You have leverage because you charge a fee. And that works for you when you're asleep. But when you're working, you want to have the maximum return for your time invested. Because you only have so much time.
Right. Got it.
Okay.
Yep. So I think we're going to do a pretty good job of that this week. We'll see how we do, as of next week. We had a day off this week, so kind of put us a little bit behind the eight ball, but I think it'll be a good exercise to see where we get to by next week.
Yeah, I mean, it's the, what we try and do is get this so that you are up and running by the eighth week.
Okay.
So the whole system, we used to do, when we first started coaching, we taught the course and then, at the end of 12 weeks, everybody did a massive dump and we got rid of the accounts, but we didn't have everybody scheduled and up and running until it was over. And then when people would have questions, they didn't have a coach, because we only ran a 12-week program. So we quickly learned that that was not smart, that it's much smarter to feed the clients into the system gradually so they are comfortable with it and you're comfortable with it. You don't want to overwhelm yourself because you've got to learn the system, get the folders ready, hand them out, talk to the clients, schedule the appointments, and then actually have the appointments. So it's easier to have a few appointments rather than a full load when you first start.
Okay,
so that's why we want to keep up on this system of, 4 weeks of segmentation. We want to be completely done with reassigning our clients by the end of 4 weeks.
Yeah.
And then while we're doing that, though, we're also getting organized, signing up clients, and getting our scheduler up and running so that when we kick into the organization piece, we're not working on segmentation. We're actually organizing ourselves. Now, you'll see that we also introduce acquisition right off the bat. Because why? Because part of why we're, the big part of why we're doing this is to grow. And in order to grow, we have to have processes in place that will generate opportunities that we didn't have before. So we want to create some new, we want to investigate what's working for you, and maybe that's enough. But in most cases, it's not. We want to start some new acquisition strategies that are more in line with today's environment and more in line with working and developing higher net worth clients and getting higher net worth clients. Because we don't get them the same way that you get small clients. They come more from word of mouth, introductions from professionals and high net worth individuals. They refer each other. But I will tell you, the opportunities, I've never seen them so great as they are right now. Because although you've modernized yourself and you're changing and you're going to create a better model, the average client still is operating as if we're stockbrokers. They don't see us as different. And we have so many good things we can do for our clients that it's just amazing to me that the public still doesn't see it. And you'd think, I do business, I'm here on an island in Boca Grande, and I had a breakfast meeting the other day. I'm on a foundation here, and the people in the room, there are only four of us, but every one of the people at the table, besides myself, were in what I would call the ultra high net worth group, more than 100 million. And they were talking about doing business with Vanguard. And I just couldn't believe it. I thought that these people would have private, you know, family office groups or customer trust, or they were talking about Northern Trust, but then two of them were very proud that they did business with Vanguard. And I'm thinking to myself, I need a financial advisor so much. I need a financial advisor so much in my life that I can't imagine guys. I couldn't imagine that they don't rely on somebody like you all, you know. So that's what we want to define, is what do you do for people like that and for people with 10 million and 20 million that they can't get from Vanguard and, you know, they can't get from doing it yourself. I mean, it's just, anyway, I'm going to be doing more homework on this particular group because I'm on this board and I happen to be on an island that has it's one of these, it's called Boca Grande, and it's one of these little sifting places where it tends to attract some really interesting and amazingly successful people.
Bob, why don't you contact over there, and we'll forward them a proposal, because now we're supernova people, we can sift them in.
Right, exactly. I mean, it's just, anyway, I feel like I feel like a spy, you know. Gonna find out all about these people and why they would ever do business with Vanguard in the world. I have no idea. I mean, what happens if they die? I mean, what are their children? What's their wife gonna do? You know, she's not gonna do that. You know, it's just interesting. I don't do much for myself anymore. My team pretty much takes care of me. So it's, I don't want that. But anyway, I digress. But I encourage you to love what you do and value yourself. And it's just so crazy that the market still doesn't get it. Anyway, we're part of the market. So
I think, you know, part of, you know, I think we really need to work hard on differentiating ourselves and really get that down, because I don't think, first of all, I don't think we can explain it very well, and I don't think people believe that we can be different anyway. I think the perception is that we're just overcharge, and they can get the same service at a discount place.
Yeah, I think that's right. And the question is, you know, the sweet spot in the market, okay, right now, to me, is that person that's sophisticated, that's smart, that in today's world is semi-rich, that has, that doesn't want to do all this stuff, wants to trust you, but doesn't know what you do. And you all have got to become that family office group. You've got to do more for these people, and then because they can pay you. You know, to start a family office group, a real one would probably cost you $2 million a year. Okay? You'd be $1 million for the head guy, and maybe, you know, the staff and everything and the building and all that crap. It'd cost you $1.5 million to run it, or $2 million to run it. But what do? They do your taxes, they pay your bills, they get your kids into college, they get your kids out of jail, they get them off drugs, they do this, they do that. But you guys can have people to do these things for them. Exactly those things. Okay? And that's the way I want you to think. I want you to think as if, how do I take a person with $20 million and do everything for them so they don't have to think? Now, I'm not going to do it all, but I'm going to have the people that I can introduce them to that can do everything. And I'm going to control those relationships so that they can see the value in what I do. Okay? I'll show you. I'll show you as best I can how that will work. But it starts with Supernova. This is the minimum, absolute minimum level of service that you should ever give to any client. Why? Because it becomes your brand. And if you can't give this to the client, they shouldn't be on your books, really. Because they can say things about you that will ruin your brand. And everybody knows 300 people. So you have somebody running out there saying, they never call me. I don't even know who they are. My investments, I haven't touched them for 2 years or 5 years. I don't know why I don't do business with Vanguard. Okay, so that's not, see what, how that poisons your brand? So we want people instead saying, oh my God, this team is unbelievable. What they do for me, they start out with a finance, multi-generational financial plan. But, you know, I did a plan before, and they never called me or did anything with it. These guys, they take the financial plan, and then they follow up. And they dot the I's and cross the T's. And they do it through 12 scheduled appointments. 4 reviews of that plan, and 2 of them are in person. So that plan gets fully implemented. And then they have a rapid response team that provides 1-hour response, 24-hour resolution to any and all my problems. You know, they send me an agenda before every meeting. And on the agenda is everything that I need to follow up on. Everything. They're going to follow up on it. I'm going to follow up. But it's everything's on the agenda. And then they send me an executive summary. And what it does is just tells me exactly what happened, what we agreed to, and who's going to do what by when. So I don't have to worry. That's where you're going to be.
Can you spend some time talking about the folders? And is that the same thing as what you're talking about, like the agenda and all? Is that what the folder is?
Well, the folder is designed to be a storage unit for you for the month-to-month calls. So what do I mean by that? It's a tool to use just like the computer or anything that stores information. So you give them a folder, and in that folder is information about you all. In your folder is information about the client. In the back of the folder, you have a place. You have a blank page where they can keep notes, and you show them this is where you write notes. And have questions, you write them down. And next to it is a place for the agenda. I'll send you the agenda a week in advance. And if you have something to add to the agenda, please send it back to me, and we'll add it to the agenda. Now, you'll have inside the folder will be things like information about the client, a summary of the financial plan or the action steps from the financial plan. We have a page for the 24-month calendar. We come up with a calendar of topics to be discussed because people are always asking me, okay, I understand the 4 years until I'm in person, but what do I talk about in the other calls? Well, we create not a 12-month, but a 24-month calendar because some of the things that you focus on in each month are calendar-driven. For example, required minimum distributions. You know, you might do those in the beginning of the year. You might do them at the end, but you got to take care of them. Okay? So things like that. And we have a sample in the workbook of the 24-month calendar. We didn't used to send that out. Now we send it to the clients. It becomes kind of a master agenda of things that we're going to be discussing. There's educational topics on there, things like long-term care. Even if the client is going to self-fund and they don't need long-term care, at least you discuss it with them. Because there's some estate planning reasons to do long-term care. And there's lots of reasons to do different things. But, you know, we do risk management, asset management, liability management, just understand all the different ways that you can borrow money. Lots of things that people don't usually spend enough time on. And because you have limited number of clients, you can spend more time educating them on lending and borrowing and how to do it efficiently and effectively. So the folder is going to be we have different samples in the book of things that are included in the folder, but that's kind of part of your challenge is to make that folder something that is going to speak to you and your clients. Okay?
Rob, it's Kelly.
Yeah, that's Kelly.
How to segment the folder system in here, but I don't see the
24-month
topic.
Or an agenda. Or an agenda.
Yeah, we're going to hit on these things. You've got to kind of know where they are in the workbook. I think it's on page 16. Let me look. I have it on page 60 in my workbook, so it's going to be close to yours, page 60 in your workbook. It's in week number, it's chapter 6, week 6. I just mentioned that because, it's in there. We're gonna cover a ton, so I don't think you have to, you have to know everything now. You don't.
Yeah. So where do we go, like, right now? Like, where what do we start getting prepared for? Because I don't want to get behind on things.
Right. Well, the first week we have to, what you want to identify is your ideal client this week. Who's your ideal client? What's the minimum, the max, you know, what's their, what do they look like?
Right.
You know, I had a simple model where I liked them, they liked me, I trusted them, and they trusted me, and they had the ability, meaning they had the money. So that was, we came up with 11 different criteria along with assets and production, but it's profitability. You know, how much, when you look at a client, if you have to travel across the country to see them, they need to generate more revenues. So profitability becomes one of the criteria to determine whether it makes sense to do business with somebody. They should be very nice. You know, if they treat your staff poorly or they're mean or they're nasty, this is a good time to get rid of them. I mean, if not now, when? When is a better time to get rid of a person that is a negative influence on your team and yourself? So that's really what we want to do in this week, is to understand. So we define butlers. Let me define butlers. Butler is the children of your clients, and they require 4 contacts. One of them is person. So it isn't everybody that we want to be a butler. It isn't every, as I said, once the client, both parents died, and you divided it by the number of children, would it meet your minimum? Okay?
Right.
So, that makes sense, right? Why are we going to keep, because most of the time the children take the money and spend a portion of it. Unless they're very successful children. I mean, look, as I said last week, the rule of common sense trumps all other rules. So if one of the children is the CEO of a company, you keep them.
Right.
And the worst thing in the world is to open an account with a child and do a terrible job for them. Never call them. And then when they get the money, they don't think you're their advisor. They move on. So you did all this work for the parents, and then the children take the money and go. So if it's your best client, you make sure you do 4-1. Meaning 4 contacts, but one of them is in person. You do a financial plan for them so that they understand how much they need to save and all those good things. Even though they may not have the money that the parents have. But they're going to get it. And they're going to be rich. So it makes economical sense to care for the children, because it's the most important thing you can do based on, you know, you can invite the parents to a lot of ball games, but taking care of the kids is a lot more important.
With regards to this next week, is this also a percentage of our clients that we're supposed to be reaching out to, or are we a little premature in doing any of that yet?
No, if you look at the homework, which is the back of every chapter, it'll say, you know, what we're supposed to be doing. So the homework for week 1 is, 1, research your clients' list against your minimums and personal screens. Decide what you are going to keep and whom you're going to be giving to another advisor. Inform your team about the changes and what to be expected. Everybody's on this call, so you don't have to do that. Identify another advisor to absorb your segment. Practice the scripts on retention and segmentation. Inform the first 20% of your clients that you're segmenting away, that you're referring them to another advisor. So, yes, you begin now. The 20% is so that you get done within a reasonable amount of time. I would recommend that you do some of them this week. Okay? Just try and do some of it, you know, 5%, 10%. Because once you get into the rhythm, you can do the rest very quickly. But the idea is to get into it right away. So because we only have 4 weeks. Hire an intern to help you with the organization piece of Supernova. And that is a great idea to leverage your practice anyway. And it helps the community. So you go to the local university, ask for the head of the business school, ask for his best student that's interested in our industry, and have him start as an intern. Listen to the videos or watch the videos on the website. And then kind of peruse around the website, because if you're curious, there's lots of things on there that we've been doing. You know, there's white papers on there. There's webinars on many, many topics that we will cover in this. And so it gives you, supplements the videos. The webinars are maybe 45 minutes long, but they have, you know, a deck of slides so that you can see as well as hear what's going on.
Okay, that makes sense. So you should start identifying which one to go, start reaching out to let the opportunity call that go, and start getting in that rhythm so that you can go to the next segment of the book.
Right.
Okay?
Yep. So that's about it. There's always time to catch up, so don't be in a panic if you feel like, oh, we're already behind. Don't think that. You're not. I mean, you don't, first of all, you don't have many clients to give away, right, compared to when we used to do this. So it's really, that's a modest job compared to the big job we used to have. You'll keep watching the videos, keep reading the workbook, keep coming up with good questions. I recommend you meet for 10 minutes before the call and just kind of review what it is that you were supposed to do for the week, and did you get it done, and who's responsible. And then at the end of the call, just meet for 10 more minutes and say, okay, what do we need to do exactly? And are you comfortable with the script? Do you understand what we're going to say? Maybe we should practice. Maybe we should read Rob's scripts. Pick one that we like. But it's pretty straightforward that you hired a consultant. The consultant looked at your practice and made some suggestions. And what we discovered was that we were trying to do too much, trying to serve too many clients. And in order to keep the quality of the client experience up, what we're going to do is implement a new level of service. All right, so that new level of service is 1242 Financial Planning and Rapid Response. So it starts with Financial Planning, 1242, and Rapid Response. So there's three things. You should always include those in your pitch. And then they always will say, well, how can you do that? How can you increase that service? That's going to be amazing. Well, we can only do that by limiting the number of clients that we serve. So what we're going to do is limit our number of clients to 70 or something. And they'll be like, oh, my God, am I in or out? And you say they're in or out, you know. And they'll say, well, how much more is this going to cost? And you can say it's going to cost more, or you can say it's going to cost the same, or you can say that it's part of our service. It's part of the fees that you're paying now, and we just encourage you to share. You know, if you're satisfied and delighted with the service, please don't keep us a secret, because we're always trying to grow. And to find the right people that are a good fit for us. So they're like, how can you grow? And well, anyway, it works. People will be delighted, and you'll find that it's with some people, it's the first time they show you real respect. They're like, they completely change. Because you've told them that they weren't fired. And so they really fall in line now. Some people will want to send you more money. People want to balance the scale of, you know, when you do more for them, they want to do more for you. And so sometimes they feel uncomfortable when you do more for them without them paying or without them doing something. So they're going to want to send you more money or refer you somebody. So it's a good thing. It's a very good thing.
All right. Well, I'm interested to get that part started, the reciprocity. And in looking over some of these scripts, I think that would be an excellent next step for us, is to look at these scripts, figure out which one we're most comfortable working with, and then come back to you next week with some progress as to how we felt talking with clients about who's on board our first-class plane and who is going to be given to a new team.
Right. That's exactly right. Because if you don't do that, that was the other thing. If you don't do that, then I can't give you, you know, I can't be your coach. You got to go out and I got to, you know, make the analogy with golf or something. Like, you got to hit some balls. I got to watch you hit. And then you got to tell me what happened when you played in your match. So that's what you have to do. You got to get out there and do this. That's another reason we don't wait, because it's so helpful for me to be here when you're doing it to give you some feedback and you ask questions and you answer them. Because I've pretty much heard every objection there is.
Okay. Looking forward.
It'll be, you'll enjoy it. If you're going to introduce somebody to, I forgot to tell one team this, and so they spent like, you know, half an hour with each client they were firing, and it was sad. So don't do that. Just do it. Make it quick and have them, and get them right away. Get them the introduction to who they're going to manage, who's going to help them. Don't make it a long, drawn out explanation. Make it very quick, and they will understand. And they will be, as long as they know where they're going. That's what they're worried about themselves. They're worried about that they're going to be taken care of. I always say, you know, if you're not delighted by Mr. Smith, please let me know and I will find someone else. Okay, but, you know, I don't want you to pay $5,000. Okay?
We shall see. We'll come back to you, Coach, and anxious to find out what objectives we have.
Yeah, you'll find it less painful than it seems. Okay. Thanks. I'll talk to you next week. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.